you are invited as we delve into the unhinged.
Get out of the grave, Alan.
The grotesque.
My skin.
And the bizarre.
Speak it. What do you want?
A dedicated killing to you.
Whether you asked for it or not, this is Late Night Psychorama.
Welcome back, everybody, to Late Night Psychorama, the podcast where you will get two movies that have nothing to do with each other, a la the glory days of the drive-in. There will be spoilers, so if you do not want the movie spoiled, stop listening. Get out of here. Go watch the movies. And then you come right back. You understand? Right back. I'm Joe.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight, we are watching Satan's Slave.
You don't mean me.
Return to us. We await you, O beloved of the old faith.
Camilla York. She is to blame, Catherine, for everything.
And how do you know I'll be bored out of my mind?
Well, spending a week with an uncle you've never even met.
Catherine, no.
And we are also watching Panic High School.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Arateo! Arateo!
AKA High School Big Panic.
Big Panic.
High School Big Panic.
So all right, much real quick.
Panic going on at that high school.
I'm going to make everybody panic right now. Everybody solve a math problem right now.
2 plus 2 equals 4.
5 plus 5 equals 10.
Really?
Throw one more.
Mike's like, I
six
don't
plus
like
9 him. Equals 69.
Wow. I just had galaxy brain right there. My mind is open to the world around us because of that answer.
Anybody
six
seen
plus
anything?
6 plus 6 equals 666.
Yeah.
That's right. That's my kind of math.
That's new math.
Why were we asked that question?
Math.
Because of math.
Oh, maths. Derps.
Maths.
Okay.
Don't you love maths? We all love maths now.
I'm not good at maths.
Yeah. So what if I'm not good at maths?
I don't give a fuck about your war, and I don't give a fuck about your maths.
That's right. Anybody seen anything cool they want to talk about?
I have not. Well, other than the movie that you and I watched, Joe, for the extra bonus stuff.
Yes, Andrew and I watched A Cold Night's Death. So if you want to hear about that, Patreon.
Yes, Patreon plug, sign up, join the club. We got all these homies now.
There's a really cool, speaking of plugs, there's a cool movie playing in our Discord the other day that Jeff was playing called FUBAR.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fake documentary about Canadian, like, they call them bangers, but like metalheads. And it's like the heavy metal version of like Trailer Park Boys.
That's cool.
A movie, not a show?
Yeah, it was a movie. Apparently they have two of them, Jeff was saying. But we watched the first one. It's called FUBAR.
FUBAR. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool.
Oh,
4 stars.
Yo, y'all are probably going to hate on me for this one, but I got to show some love. Last night on Discord, a couple of us got together and we watched Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem. That. The Lords of Salem? All that watched it loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. I tried twice. Did you make it all the way through?
If I did, it didn't leave a lasting impression.
That's bananas. I don't understand how anybody could say that. I am
so
confused.
I must not have then.
I posted that on Instagram and got so many of our homies sliding into my DMs to spread some hate. They shit on that. That movie, yo, I'm going to tip my hat. I don't know if it was like Rob Zombie or his creative team. I don't know if it was maybe a secret Sherry Moon zombie movie or whatever. That movie anticipated the wave of A24 horror style.
Yeah,
I am baffled.
I can see that.
That Rob Zombie turned around from that and then continued to make really trashy schlock horror that was like hyper-violent nu metal shit. But that movie is so low-key. It's so good. The acting is so good. The sound design is bananas. The art design is great. Whatever they were doing, we're firing on all cylinders. And the last 15 minutes of that movie are just perfect. And I watched it with, like, a cup of skepticism tea. I had my little, my friends are going to make fun of me if I watch this. And I drank that, and I was, like, going into it. No, I was, like, cheering. My roommates were like, what are you watching? The Velvet Underground was coming on. I was cheering. I was jumping up and down in my room. The end of that movie is killer. That movie fucking rules.
Oh, my God.
Lords of Salem is the good Rob Zombie movie.
Ryan's just like jumping up and down in the living room screaming, I am the Lord of Salem.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. Everybody loved it. And I gotta give you our shout outs to Hannah and Scarlett and Boom and Troy. We were all like, yeah, fuck the haters. Yeah. So fuck everybody.
I'll give it a rewatch. I promise.
So many people slid into my DMs to poo-poo that one on me.
Yeah.
You lost so much cred there. I love Devil's Rejects. You know, like, I'm not afraid to admit I like some Rob Zombie.
Yeah, then why I gotta get all the shit on the other one?
I wasn't giving you shit about that. From what I saw.
Totally. I know you weren't giving me the shit. But some people slid into my DMs being like, hoof, the worst Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Get out of here!
First of all, okay, I haven't even seen all the Rob Zombie movies, but I have seen his Halloween, not even the second one, and I don't know how any of them could possibly be worse.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm with you on that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
His casting in that Halloween movie is great, but it's pretty just, like, trashy violent and, like, weirdly shot and edited, like, just too many close-ups and just edited spastically, and they violate the editing rules of frame and all that. But this fucking movie doesn't do that, and it's got all the low-key shit going on.
I'm going to watch it. I will bite the bullet. I'm going to watch it. And one of the things I'm going to look for is in the credits, because I'm curious to see if there's, like, some name in the credits that's noticeably absent from his other stuff, and then I'm going to give that person the award.
Right.
There you go.
Yo, I told you, I met that motherfucker. He's a chiller. He was a nice guy.
He is a really nice guy.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about him. Nothing
Where
makes him as a person.
Did I ever mention, like, the time I met him when he came to my job? Has that been talked about on the podcast before?
No shit.
What?
Which job was this?
Joe's law firm job, clearly. Why are you even asking that question?
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, you guys are trying to foreclose on a house.
When I worked at Tower Records, he came for a signing, and back in the day, Towers, like every Tower Records had an artist on the payroll, because they used to be very into individuality and having like cool shit that you couldn't find in every store as far as like signage and stuff like that. So there was an artist that worked at every store that would make all kinds of cool shit for displays and everything. So years ago, he made this big like devil throne thing for an appearance that Rob Zombie did at the South Street store. So he still had this thing in like the bunker downstairs, like in like there was like this huge open space by the break room that was like you went downstairs and there was like a big like fucking like Freddy Krueger boiler room looking place down there, and he still had that there because he had all of his stuff lined up. So he brought it out again for this, and he's like, I wonder if he'll even remember this, because it was like a really long time. And so Rob Zombie shows up, and he's really nice, and he's talking to like everybody, like he's making it a point to go to everybody and like say hi and like just kind of like shoot the shit with people. When he turns the one corner, he sees the throne, his eyes lit up, he was like, oh shit, I remember that. So the artist was like very happy that he actually remembered the throne. And like he turned around and he was like, you guys had this for like 15 years or whatever it was.
That's amazing.
That's pretty.
And then cool. He stuck around and was shopping. So hell like yeah.
What did he
people
buy?
Showed up that like that missed the signing and they're like, "Oh fuck, we couldn't get here." Blah, blah. We're like, "Well, he's right there if you want to talk to him." And like they look over and he like kind of like turns his head over his shoulder and just kind of like waves to people like, "I'm here if you want to talk to me."
Yo, Joe, I don't know
his
if
movies are terrible though.
I don't know if we ever clarified this together, like you and me, one-on-one. What Tower Records did you work at?
I worked at the one on the Boulevard in the Northeast, though I did do some shifts also at the South Street store sometimes, too.
But never the Broad Street one?
No, I never worked at the Broad Street one.
I used to go into the Broad Street store when I was in college and walk around the DVD section. And at that time, that was the biggest and best, most expansive, like, real-life-you-can-be-there DVD section in my reality. And yeah. I would just walk around the foreign cinema. They had, like, a Asian crime section alone. Mm-hmm. That was, like, Japanese, Chinese, just, like, everything. And I would just make mental note of all the movies I wanted to see. And
yeah.
Yeah, I could never afford anything there because it's fucking expensive. But
we had a guy who would come in. He had a list. He would unfold the paper out of his pocket, like totally normal, like looking guy. Didn't look like a weirdo or anything. But he always would go into what we called the porn saloon, because the porn section had like double swinging doors, mm-hmm. like you were walking into the Old West saloon.
Yeah. And it was a
requirement for everybody to have
heels
and spurs.
That wasn't a spittoon, that was something else.
Yes. But he would come out of there with a huge stack and be walking around with it, go take it to the counter, and then he would go hit the Criterion section. And then he would come up with the Criterion stuff, and he had like all like this really cool stuff like of all kinds of foreign films, and he would be going through his list, checking off the porn, because the list was always the porn that he apparently had done research to buy, but the Criterion stuff was all just like he just went with whatever looked good.
Seems cool.
That's amazing.
The complete opposite of what you would imagine that
yeah.
interesting duality would have been.
Yeah,
my man
researched
knew.
The porn, winged it on the Criterion.
Yeah.
That's
my
great.
Man knew.
Yeah,
huge props to him.
He knew what he was looking for.
He did, and he had no shame whatsoever. He was just talking about Weapons of Ass Destruction 4 and whatever else was going on.
Amazing.
Anybody else? I have
got a little off topic there, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. No, I don't think I've seen anything really, so. No? All right. Fuck, Marry, Kill. Satan's Slave. The Devil Rides Out. Brotherhood of Satan.
I would probably fuck Satan's Slave because of the main actress. Marry Devil Rides Out because who wouldn't want to marry Christopher Lee? And I guess just by default, it would be Kill Brotherhood of Satan, but nothing against that movie.
Yeah, we are perfectly simpatico on that. That's exactly how I would do it.
Awesome.
I knew this was a good fit. I knew Mike on the show was gonna be a good fit.
All right.
It's very at
Andrew,
home,
do you have an answer for that?
No, I haven't seen Devil Rides Out, so I mean, I can't honestly answer that yet.
Well, I guess if we're going to ask this question, I must throw out another one.
Okay.
And my roommate was trying to help me with some dating profiles and talking to strangers, and she was like, oh, you got to ask. Fuck, marry, kill. Mayonnaise. Butter. We're out of oil.
What? Butter, mayonnaise, olive oil.
Yeah.
I'm sure fucking butter would
is this for
the best
eating?
Out of the three.
No, it's
for fucking marrying and killing.
I guess I'll
Which
marry
end is this
butter
going on?
Because we need butter for like just about everything. I'll fuck the mayonnaise because I guess why not.
Hey.
And I'll kill the olive oil because I could do without.
Mayo is the poor man's lube, you know.
The fuck? Is that where you stand on this?
Is it Last Tango in Paris? Is that the one where
they fuck mayonnaise, kill mayo?
But Brando uses butter as lube.
I've never seen.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Last Tango in Paris.
That's the hand job movie, right? Where there's like a hand job that happens in it that's aggressive.
Oh, that's where the mayo comes in.
Honestly, I think like a warm, semi hotter than room temperature butter would be the best condiment.
Probably.
Yeah.
I feel like the right
answer
is
mayo
for
shit.
For me, would be to fuck with some butter, marry olive oil, and kill mayo.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one, 100%.
I am also simpatico with y'all on that one.
Unless the mayo also includes the vegan mayo, like the veganaise or whatever. That's or veganaise. Veganaise.
Vaginaise.
Vaginaise.
That definitely sounds like an STI.
Vaginaise.
All right.
All right, Joe, why don't you tell us about Satan's Slave?
You don't mean me.
Catherine has survived a car crash that killed her parents, and her uncle and cousin take her in. But unfortunately for Catherine, it's worse than she thinks, and all is not as it seems. Right up top, before we get into anything else, I just want to mention this. They could not afford Michael Goff for this. Mm-hmm. Norman J. Warren, the director, had to like passionately pitch him the script and did such a good job that Michael Goff said, okay, I'll do it for, you know, small fee. I think it was like 300 British pounds. And on the condition that it didn't interfere with his theater engagements, because he was doing theater things in London at the time. That combined with no hotel accommodations, he crashed with a friend in a neighboring town, had to supply his own wardrobe because they did not have it in the budget for him to have costuming, which brings up a question about that cape, which we'll get to. Same thing for Martin Potter also did not have costuming. He had to wear his own clothes as well. 5:45 wake up call, and then he would shoot with them some nights all the way till midnight. For a movie that he got 300 pounds for, that was way less than what his at normal contractual asking price was. And Norman J. Warren said through this whole thing, he was all smiles, never complained about anything.
Wow.
And that is how he landed the role awesome. Of Alfred in Tim yes. Burton's Batman series.
Yeah. That's pretty is wild.
It's hard it's work Michael, doesn't get you anywhere.
It's Michael Gow or Michael Go or Michael Goo.
I was going to ask that, too. I had no idea how to pronounce his name.
It's spelled so Goff, though, right? Or something? Or is it?
Goff, yeah.
Goff?
It might be Goff. It might be Go. Goff.
Go.
It might be
Van Gogh. Goff.
I'm not really sure. I've never heard anyone actually say it. I don't
Michael
think.
Likewise.
I've only heard John say it. And he says go.
And he says everything wrong, so.
Go.
That's a very good point. I should have
Michael,
taken that
go.
As the cue. That's crazy. That's 300 pounds a day or 300?
I think it was total.
No, 300 pounds total.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's, yeah. I mean, granted, it was like 1970, what, six?
No, even for that, it was, at that time, it was really low.
Yeah.
I was watching some of the, like, the making of this movie. I couldn't get through all of it just because it was incredibly boring. But, but they were talking about that, how they offered the 300 pounds, and the agent was like, I wouldn't take 300 pounds just to wake up for this movie or something. So, And so, but he liked the script and yeah, it was sold on it.
Yeah, yeah. Like he liked the script and he like the fact that he did this basically for free.
Yeah.
Right.
With all those like issues and he still was like, this is fine.
Yeah.
It's such like a weird movie, I think, to like be like a labor of love.
Yeah.
Like for an actual like distinguished like actor, a theater actor. Like it's weird that I think that he would pick this movie to be like the one that he's all about for free and under poor conditions.
I think it kind of fits
not poor conditions.
It fits kind of like the feeling that apparently everyone had in the making of this movie just because this was just a very low budget, just kind of a first time project for a lot of people who worked on it. Apparently like they were all like they had worked on movies before, but they were like assistants or, you know, they never really like took the reins for any project. And like in this one, this was just kind of like their passion project.
Yeah. So Norman Warren had been in talks with Amicus and AIP to work for them, but neither one panned out. So Satan's Slave was like his, like him and two of his camera crew guys, basically. And I think a family member too, like threw in some money. They started Monumental Pictures and Satan's Slave was the first movie on his Monumental Pictures company, which was adapted from a discarded AIP script that I believe was called The Naked Eye, which would have starred Vincent Price. So if you can imagine something kind of like Satan's Slave, but with Vincent Price in it.
Yeah, I think that would have been amazing.
Would he have played the uncle, I would assume?
I would assume.
Yeah, he's definitely an Uncle Alexander type. I can see that 100%.
He probably would have played the uncle, but I would have liked him to play the deranged son. That would have been
fun. Yeah, Stephen.
just old man.
Yeah, exactly. And just stabbing girls. Yeah.
How old would the uncle have to be?
Yeah, ancient. Just some decrepit. Yeah.
Just some old guy in a wheelchair.
Well, it's rewrite it. Satan, like, rejuvenism, like, the person
stay
like, young, but then their son is old, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? I would like to see the two together, but I gotta say that, Michael Goff, I'm sorry, I had something in my throat, Michael Goff, did it just steals it. Like he walks. He like really holds the hand of this movie.
For sure. As much as I love Price, like kills it here.
I'm sorry, I might be misspeaking. His mustache really holds the hand of this movie.
Yeah. Holds the handlebar of this movie.
The handlebar Hey-o. Mustache.
I decided 3 weeks ago to do a mustache because I knew today, 3 weeks later, we'd be talking about this movie.
Yeah.
And that mustache was so empowering that it actually inspired me. Backwards.
Before you
through
even
time.
Knew about it. You clairvoyantly saw this movie mustache before it got picked in me. That's how powerful his mustache is.
Don't know the movie, but I know the mustache.
It looks like you could take him by his ankles and fucking sweep your floor with the fucking caterpillar on his face.
Yeah, I'm sure he's proud of that.
Oh,
is he alive?
Probably not.
No,
no way.
Is he among no, the no. He died not that long ago, though. Wow. I don't think.
Yeah, 2011.
Shit. How old was he? Like 150? Jesus.
He was.
Satan makes you live long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do maths.
You're bad at maths!
Yeah.
Oh, you're dragging us all down.
Speaking of Satan.
It's not your fault.
I do love.
What does this have to do with me? I'm good at maths.
Speaking of Satan, Andrew.
Yeah, I was gonna say I do love that whole sacrificial beginning where you have the dude in like the Baphomet. I don't know any movie that has like some ritual with a Baphomet character just giving the devil horns, like that's cool.
Taking it up like this with the cape and everything and the head.
That guy was actually the screenwriter.
Really? He was on there. That's pretty cool.
And the woman. In the prologue scene with the mask, like the nude woman, would not that she's the only nude woman in it, but
there's plenty of nude women in it.
She was actually an associate producer. There was supposed to be an actress for that scene, and she never showed up. And this woman who was a producer was like, "Fuck it, I'll do it."
Put me in.
A lot of go-getters and a lot of team players apparently on this movie.
What makes a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that first scene really does grab you in.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely does. There's like a few scenes that did that for me. That one. And then I'm probably jumping all over the place and probably had a little too much to drink already. But there's this one scene where I don't know who it is, but it's there. I guess they're showing, I forget the name of the girl who's like, they flash back to some girl getting like whipped against a tree. I don't know who the woman who was the actress in that scene, but she's very captivating.
All the actresses in this movie are very captivating, but it's interesting that we cannot tell the difference between who was who.
The blonde one.
Actually, here, hold on a second.
Is it Barbara Kellerman?
No, she's like a German name or something, or like she's like a German actress.
Kellerman isn't German enough of a name for you?
is it? I don't know.
That was like the Barbara Kellman was the one who played the secretary, whatever she was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gloria Malley, she's blonde.
Yeah. She played...
It's funny on my phone and looking at Wikipedia and seeing Gloria Malley, and it's just a photo of a man.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm thinking of it's Monica Ringwald.
Oh, Molly Ringwald's mother.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, her first name is German. I didn't get that. I was going, it's Monica.
Yeah.
M-O-N-I-K-A.
Monica.
I misunderstood that whole combo.
Speaking of Gloria Malley, she played Janice, and her and the art director became a couple while filming. And they wrote in Seminoid together later.
No, which is kidding. Also a Norman J. Waller movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I also fell asleep during that movie. I need to rewatch it. And it's full.
Does that imply you fell asleep during this?
A little bit. Not really. Well, actually, no. I did fall asleep.
Wow. Yeah.
I fell asleep twice while we were all watching it together, and then again on my own.
This is why you're every man, Drew. It's definitely a movie I think would put the every man to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a movie for the nerds, for the, like, the people that love the crumbles of goodness.
Yeah.
But you know
for
what,
every
though?
Man, they're going to go to sleep.
Like, okay, so the difference between this and the cut version, which is the only way I had ever seen it, is pretty noticeable. Like, there's, like, no blood or anything in the cut version.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine watching this movie cut that way, because I feel like a lot of the reasons I do like this movie is because of the sleaze and gore, and there's just profuse amounts of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with, like Joe, the only other time I saw this movie was a cut one.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even realize it was cut. I think I just saw it, like, on YouTube or something. And yeah, while watching it the other night, I'm like, there really is. And I liked it back then. I liked it cut. And then watching it, this one was just incredible.
What?
Joe, do you remember how it's? I saw it a while ago, but I don't even remember that intro in the cut one. Or is that? Am I just misremembering?
I don't remember it either. Actually,
I remember it just starting with the car ride, or not the car ride, with her in bed. Started with her in bed with that guy. And
yeah, I don't remember it having that ritual at the beginning.
Yeah, because I think that's something I would have remembered.
Well, I'm wondering. Go ahead. I'm just saying, what was cut out of the cut version? Was it like
everything?
Even the nudity and all that too? Like,
no, the nudity was in it.
Okay.
Wait, are you telling me that the scissor nipple horror is cut out of the unrated, the rated version?
There was no scissor.
Were there knives to the eyeballs? Crazy suicides? Was any of that in
the suicide definitely wasn't in it.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get to that, but the suicide part did kind of throw me off a little bit. Like, what was, like, certain parts of the movie is probably because I was in and out, you know, of coma.
Sleep.
But, yeah, it's like. But
coma.
every man coma. But, what was the suicide for? Like, why did we even go to that? It was neat, though. There's a lot
of
fucking
Play-Doh
blood.
When you get stuck in an elevator, man, and there's that much Muzak going on, and it's that dramatic, you might be likely to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You, Ryan, you just made sense of out of one of my notes.
Oh.
Thank you.
You Rosetta Stoned that shit.
Sleaze, what was your note?
My note was, talk about how that scene reminds you of the Elisa Lam, story. What scene was I talking about? There it is.
Mystery solved.
Side story. And I know Lugosi is excited about this.
Yeah, sorry, guys. He's got the zoomies right now. It's always something on my end. It's either my cat or my neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We take turns. Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
That hotel, the Lisa Lam hotel, the where the Black Dahlia murder stayed, that place is fucking scary. I've been there twice now. I'm horrified by it. Yeah, it's really scary. I don't like it. It's got a vibe. Like, I went there.
Richard Ramirez stayed there as well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. No, that place is fucked up.
Yeah, but just like how he was in the elevator, and because now I all remember, and then up to the top floor. Totally, random suicide.
Yeah,
that's
sealed.
Just made the connection.
Fucking. Well, at least our guy died on the floor.
Yeah.
He made it to the bottom. Yeah. He made it to the ground floor.
Very brutally, with one of those, flesh on impact sounds.
That impact wound. That was gnarly.
That's a fucked up thing in movies that they, you don't see enough, but always upsets me. And I don't understand, my threshold for upset is, through the roof. So, when I hear, man falling from building hitting ground, and then...
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, no! But in other, normie movies, you see it, and they're just like... Boom.
Yeah.
And it's just, nowhere near as effective as just the, subtle, just, like...
Thud. Yeah.
Just, like...
It's a broken, just bone snap.
Oh my god, just the brief. It hurts so much.
Mm-hmm.
when you watch Nightmare City and you see what's her face fall and just hit every fucking steel beam on the way down, does that affect you?
No, in no way. That's like the fun version.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all fun for me, but like there's like a get under my skin version that I'm surprised they don't use in modern filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And like that guy's suicide definitely got under my skin a little bit. Like the moment he.
No, it's definitely a good one.
To be honest,
that was a good suicide.
I think I'm with Andrew. I've watched this movie 3 times in the last week under various amounts of substances, and I just do not know if I understood it or not. Mm-hmm. Like, the sober time I watched it, I was just like, my brain was carrying me away. The drunk time I was watching it, I loved it so much and then fell asleep. And then the high time I watched it, I was just really confused. And then the group time, oh, I guess that's the 4th time we watched it, it was just like, I want to talk about all the awesome with everybody.
Yeah.
So I really don't entirely understand how any of the characters in this movie connect or why they did anything they did, but I still loved it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, please, after you. I've been talking enough.
I was just saying that, it seems like there's, like, 2 main things going on in this movie, and one is the girl's family... or the girl who ends up in the house whose family dies in the car wreck. She's there because she's some sort of representative of like the past, and they're going to sacrifice her. Meanwhile, there's another guy, Steven, who is some maniacal crazed killer. And it just seems they seem to be going off in different directions. And I just was kind of like losing track of what was going on.
Well, I assumed
that Steven was a part of like the whole satanic thing, and his role was to kind of just keep her there and kind of keep her blind to it.
Yeah, but don't kill her.
Good point.
I got something a little different from Steven. Yeah. It's like he has this narrative where my father always wished I was a girl. I'm not a girl. And I think they were like, this movie is from 1976, so it's a little before the time of, like, serial killer profiling and fully understanding it. But, like, we still know that there are echoes of it in modern filmmaking. Or, like, not modern, but contemporary to that time. And he just, I think, is a character that has just become a psycho because of that, like, oh, my uncle wants a girl and I'm a boy. Now I hate women, so I kill women. And he's, like, not even part of the cult entirely. He's just a little bit removed from it. But he's just a different villain. Like, in the movie, he's just a whole different villain.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. Kind of show that he... Well, I guess they try to explain why he's fucked up. And the fact is he, when he was a kid, he witnessed that Satan ritual that we saw in the beginning.
Yeah, with
and
the Baphomet.
And then that just makes him, like, murder every date he's ever had, I guess.
Of course.
But he makes it a point to say that he wasn't a woman and that his parents wanted a girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
Wah. Wah.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on in this movie.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. You really don't get into much character development with Steven. It would be pretty cool.
There's a...
figure out what his full deal is.
Yeah.
There's an element of Brit horror where, like, people are dandies, and it's really funny when they'd be dandy villains. It's just like, you fucking little prissy criminal. Get out of here.
Michael Gothard was supposed to be Steven, but then he just dropped out, apparently, when they started filming.
I'm sorry, who is Michael Gothard?
I'm glad you asked.
This is actually Michael Gothard's third appearance on the show.
Can't believe you guys don't know who Michael Gothard is.
The Devils. He's the ultra zealous priest.
Okay.
I like how you just missed. Oh, Michael Gothard. Yeah, now I know.
He's
in Life Force.
Yeah,
movie that sucks that everybody likes.
Shut up.
Lost. That battle's over.
No, I'm
concede.
The one,
get I'm out of the house.
No, I'll do terrorism on that dumbass movie. I want to like it. I've read so many. Dude, look, hold on. I'm halfway through this book, second time. This is the size of the Bible. It's written by the guy that wrote The Space Vampires. It's nonfiction, and I'm reading it again. It's huge. I could probably beat any one of you to death with it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that writer. That movie? Just saying.
It's you a little out there. You made that
abundantly clear.
Just saying, I read the source material. One of our good friends messaged me about Salem's Lords of Salem, and I was just like, yeah, you know what? Life Force sucks, too.
Their hedges exploded.
Do you mind if I backpedal a bit? Because we're talking about plots that we didn't understand. I had a question that's been bugging me about regarding the plot. When... what's her name? Barbara Kellerman's character, Frances. When Stephen kills her, she starts screaming something about blackmail, and she's holding something in her hand, and he like rips it out, and she's like, "No, he's trying to blackmail me," and then Stephen rips it out of her hand and kills her. Does anybody know what's going on or what she's talking about?
I don't remember that part. Holy shit!
All right, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that was completely lost by that.
Nope.
Yeah. Every time, like in this movie, I feel like I do that with a lot of movies, like I just go, oh, it's just a fever dream excuse, like that's what it is, that's what's going on,
as you're an everyman coma.
Yeah, it's like fever dream,
it's a coma dream. Yeah. Andrew's like, my entire life is a dream.
Yeah, just like I just chalk it up to that.
All right, so that's
wait,
the
there was
answer.
No that,
so the mystery wait, continues.
Does anybody remember her death scene?
Where she gets, like, stabbed in the mouth?
Yeah. She's holding something. It must be pictures. And then she's screaming. He's like, no, he's blackmailing me, like, something. And then Steven rips it out of her hand. She goes, no, give, like, please let me keep it. And he just stabs her. I'm like, what was that all about?
There was some subplot that the people making this movie cared more about than the people watching, apparently.
Totally missed that.
I really would. Normally, I'm better. I'm a bit stressed. I'm a bit distracted. I watch this movie more than I've watched most of the movies that we watched before recording.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't put all the pieces together. Yeah. But I love it. I think I love this.
I'm with you. Absolutely adore the movie, whether I can make sense out of it or not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's a neat movie, and I did enjoy most of it, but I don't know. Like I kind of finished the movie just a bit underwhelmed. And I know I did fall asleep twice, but I did make it through the entire time without falling asleep the third time. But maybe there is just maybe a lack of memorable set pieces, or I don't know. There was just something missing from the movie that just left me kind of wanting. And there is plenty of you know, tits and gore and whatnot, and that should be enough sleaze to make me really love this movie. But yeah, I feel like it has the same fate as like a lot of Jess Franco movies where I watch, where I just can't get into it as much. And I know I'm like the odd man out and whatever.
Yeah, you're the weird one. I just looked it up, by the way. It is goth.
Goth.
Goth?
Yes.
Goth. That's pretty fucking goth.
Yeah.
Do a goth song for this closing party.
Do you think the name Camilla... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, my God, no. No. Both got to say your things.
I was just going to say, apparently the pills that they keep giving Candace in the movie are actually Smarties.
Ooh, delicious.
Well, cute.
I used to pretend they were pills when I was a kid.
You ever crush them up and snort them?
I did.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
When I was a kid,
a lot about my decisions later in life.
Yeah, I used to pretend they were drugs as a kid.
Yeah.
I think every degenerate used to pretend.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, degenerates.
Yeah, snorting Smarties.
Snorting Smarties. That's the real gateway drug.
Mike, did you mention Camilla?
I did. Do you think that's a reference to Karstein?
We're talking about vampire?
Yeah, the vampire, like lesbian trilogy thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, woman trapped in like housing situation that she didn't decide on being involved in is it like mapped that so perfectly, and I was just like, every time I heard that get brought up in the movie, I was just like, yeah.
What's the other movie we did that covered the whole Camilla story?
Blood Spattered Bride.
Oh, right.
There's so many movies about.
Yeah, it comes up often.
But isn't it Carmilla?
It is.
Carmilla. That's the British way of saying Camilla. It's Carmilla.
Oh, see, I'm in Boston, it's pronounced the same.
Carmilla.
Yeah, I'm
like, what's the
Carmilla,
I can't even hear the difference. What are you talking about?
Are you saying Carmilla is the story, the vampire story, is Carmilla?
Carmilla, it is the vampire story. It's a...
Carmilla.
It's a novel that was written in like the late 1800s, and a bunch of movies over the years have borrowed the lesbian vampire vibes from the story.
I feel
this
like
this movie just—I
just don't know if it's coincidence or not. But yeah, go ahead.
No.
I was just saying that like it could be coincidence, but there's too many similarities. Like,
well,
paintings of the face and all that stuff.
My only question is why wouldn't they just have it as Carmilla? Like, why would they change it to Camilla? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter, but I mean, it's not like, you know, like Hammer didn't own Carmilla, so.
I still honestly cannot hear the difference between what words you're saying.
That's how New England he is.
No.
That was a joke on something, and I can't remember what the hell it was.
What?
It was a joke about... No, it wasn't... It wasn't a Boston joke, but it was a similar thing where like pronunciation was like the joke, and the person was like, you're saying the same word to me, and I can't remember what the hell it was. That's gonna bother me.
So while this narrative does have things in kind of working in tandem with that, there's no lesbian action, is there?
No, I don't know if it's just like a nod to like.
Yeah, it might just be.
You know.
No, I think it
comment.
Is.
I don't know. I
just said I watched this movie like 4 times in different circumstances. That's one of the only things that stood out to me where I was just like, oh, they're trying to do one of these things. And it kind of tracks because she's stuck in a place in her house where like her like new relative, her uncle, who is a doctor, who is her uncle, but also wants to be her friend, is her new caretaker, and there's no consent involved, and she's just there, and it kind of just like, oh, it's my new husband. I'm in a new weird mansion place. I'm here instead
my
of husband, lesbians.
My
we
husband
have,
cousin.
Yeah, that's what we get in place of lesbian vampires. We get husband
cousins. We get incest.
Yeah.
The cusband.
The cusband, yes. Perfect.
Oh, cusband. That's cute. if only it were called that, we could probably just validate so much incest marriage.
Yeah, because this sounds so adorable. Who wouldn't want to be cusbands?
Sounds like a bear.
Speaking of the house, apparently this is the same house that they used for the Virgin Witch, which is interesting.
I actually just watched that movie a few months ago for the first time. That's an interesting tidbit, though.
Not seen that. But I wonder if there's any other movies this house was used in, because it looks familiar.
It's the Everyman house.
Yeah. It's the Everyman.
it's literally Everyman's house.
Yeah.
Anybody know that this was also called Evil Heritage? I've literally never seen it referred to as that.
Never do that.
Satan's Slave is a much better title.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it released like in a certain country under that title, or was it like actually released like wide? Did it have a wide release with that?
They flip-flopped on it. Like apparently it was Satan's Slave. Then it was Evil Heritage. Like, it got, like, a second chance, I guess. Like,
right, as these movies often do.
Right. And then they flipped it back again.
Yeah, Evil Heritage, looking it up, was the USA alternative title.
The alternative title. They realized the errors of their ways and went back to being slaves of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Smart.
Who wrote this movie?
This was David McGillivray.
Who's that?
The guy.
Yeah, like a friend of one of the producers, apparently, and wrote it in 9 days.
Wow.
As if that's something to brag about.
Yeah. He didn't really connect any of the stories together. Maybe if he took one extra day, we'd make more sense out of this movie.
Yeah.
It makes me feel bad.
Sylvester Stallone wrote like three drafts of Rocky in a weekend.
Really?
With the story.
While living in his car and with only having a typewriter?
He just hunkered down, grabbed a bunch of coffee, and apparently just clacked away.
Yeah.
My dudes, we are bad, incapable people. If that fucking...
Yeah, when you put it that way.
If that fucking walking piece of prime rib can figure out how to write an Academy Award-winning movie in a fucking weekend while living in a car, and this is the lives we have created for ourselves, what is wrong with us?
Yeah, there's the version that we know. There's the original. Apparently, the first draft he did, it was a Citizen Kane thing where Rocky is dead at the beginning, and then they go back and show you how it gets there.
That's amazing.
And then in the third version, he just throws the fight, and then with the money that he got, he buys Adrian her own pet store.
I'm so glad he didn't pick that one. Yeah.
That's bananas.
I wonder what Rocky's Rosebud would have been.
It would have been his glove chain.
Adrian.
I'll just mention real quick that David McGillivray also wrote some stuff for Pete Walker as well. Who's like, I know Pete Walker? He did House of Whipcord and
really?
I think Frightmare.
Wow.
Oh. OG Frightmare.
That's really cool.
Yeah, OG Frightmare, not Jeffrey Combs Frightmare.
Sick.
That's very cool. Good movie.
Is this a thumbs up from all of us?
Thumbs up from me.
Thumbs up from me.
Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up. Like, it's, you know, I can't give a movie with the title Satan's Slave a thumbs down. And have an awesome Baphomet fucking creature giving me devil horns off the get-go. Like, that's thumbs up right there. Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to give this one a thumbs up as well.
Right. Oh. Yeah. You had me guessing a little.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, this movie's great sleaze. Great sleaze. It's perfect, like, Brit sleaze, that, like, edgelords shit, and it's like, you gotta love it.
Yeah, if you've not seen this movie, a bunch of tits, a bunch of bush, too. It's crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of tits, you get a lot of the bush. Whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
a lot of random violence in ways that are upsetting and really excessive. Yeah. So good.
Cool suicide. We even talk about the eyeball fucking stab at the end.
Ah, knife eye. We didn't talk about the knife eye.
Oh, no.
Or the fact that the whole thing was a dream.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, they do the dream thing twice, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
There are dreams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she has weird, like, hazy fever dreams inside her dream.
But they have the, this isn't a dream, this is reality thing. They do that trope twice.
Right.
I think that Andrew should have his own version of thumbs up where it's like what level his eyelids sit at.
Just gotta wake my thumb up. Hold on.
Let me ask it.
I love it.
All right, we'll be back after this word from our network.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal: providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. And Joe, tell us about Big Panic High School. Panic High School Big Panic.
A high school student rallies his classmates into rebelling violently when the administration refuses to take responsibility for the suicide of one of the students. Okay, so this is... I did it again. I cheated on this one again for a reason. So this is from IMDb. The rallies the classmates into rebelling... That didn't happen, right?
That didn't happen at all.
It was
that
just him, right?
It was him.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the exact opposite.
There was a scene where two kids were smoking
yeah,
in the bathroom, and then they're just like, yeah, I fucking hate our teacher. And that was it. Like, that's the most rebellion from the other students.
Okay. I didn't know if I lost something in the translation, because that definitely didn't seem like... them hiding under desks and running away from him, that was part of rebelling.
Yeah. No, most students were pissed because they were good at maths and they had nothing to do with this rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone was really good at maths in this except for the main loser. And then the other kid, there was another kid who was not good at math.
Yeah, he was trash.
Ran away.
The one running around, I am trapped.
I love that kid. And the teacher was just like, awesome. You go right away. Run away, and he's like, I'm running.
There's
I'm running
three main trash maths, and they one jumped off a building because of maths.
Yeah, somebody do the breakdown.
Well, let's do it together, because we didn't do one. So there's suicide of a kid who he counts a lot out loud.
That's the only math he knows.
In English.
He can count a ton in English.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't English.
And then he suicides, and the teachers all have a... Not the teachers, but the principals of the school that they're all part of all have a thing to say about how if... there's a test. There's, like, an entrance exam to a college that they all want to go to. And their private school, maybe public school... has the best entrance exam statistics of getting people into this prestigious college.
It's like the SATs.
It's like the SATs, and this school is the best at producing the best SAT Japanese version results, right? Yeah.
And if you don't do well, you're a loser.
Yeah. No one wants to be bad at maths in that school.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you do maths wrong or if it's difficult, you kill yourself.
Yeah, you kill yourself or you run around the campus yelling math problems while smacking yourself in the head.
And so our one boy is so fed up because he sees through the game and doesn't want to play that game and... goes to a mall-type place and sees that there's a gun that he can just grab and run away with, and so he does, and then he runs back to the school, and he holds his teacher hostage and then executes his teacher, and then the rest of the movie is just the administration and the cops doing hostage siege on this kid who's panicked and then running around with a gun, and then he... holds a small group of people hostage.
Mm-hmm. Big panic.
Big panic. Panic.
Big panic, small group.
Yeah. I did like how some of the police were just like, we have to get him alive, because apparently, like, they kind of got it. Like, they got there, like, this, it's too stressful for these kids for their entire lives to be dependent on the results of this entrance exam to the college. And so... they're like, we have to get the bottom of it and ask him why he's doing this. And it's like, you just answered the question. It's fucking too stressful for these kids. But yeah, that, it's just funny that they're trying to figure out the reasoning for him shooting up his class. But yeah.
See, they already had the answer to the math problem, but they need to show their work.
Yeah.
So they need to talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. That's so funny. You got to know you didn't get the answer from the back of the book.
Yeah.
So this character in this movie that is like one of the other kids who's just like, I'm no good at maths. But the maths are hard. And the teacher's like, you gotta run around if you trash. And he goes, all right, I'm running because you told me to run. Yeah. And he runs away. And he's running. And he's running for a while. And he kind of disappears. Or am I tripping?
Yeah,
he disappears. But he makes another appearance.
Right. But in before that, there's just another man that shows up, which is just this man that wears, he's shirtless man from town. That wears a sash that wants to run, and he acknowledges that he's no good at maths.
Yeah. He's maths. Like, the problem with kids these days is they don't run. And then someone's like, you idiot, you can't live life just by running.
And he goes, I'm going to run my way right into that institutional post-grad shit or pre-grad shit.
Which is crazy because towards the end of the movie, the girl was like, yeah, I knew you. You used to love running. Why did you stop running? It was like there was this like this running theme that was like, throughout the entire movie, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I mean, the whole movie, the main character who was it Noru or something? No, what was that guy?
Jono,
Jono,
Jono, J-O-N-O.
There were no pictures. I couldn't tell who was who because there were no pictures. Apparently, most of the people in this movie were the director's friends.
Okay.
Oh, wow. There are so many people in this movie. He must
There's
have
a lot of people
friends.
In this movie. That guy's mad popular.
Yeah, it's friends and, like, people that he just kind of, like, come help me make this movie, basically. I have that guy down as payphone caller sash-wearing guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Why does he wear a sash? What is that?
Because he runs.
I'd assume it has something to do with running.
Duh.
It's because he failed the math test.
What kind of question is that, Joe?
When you fail the math.
Do you even run?
Yeah, I don't.
When you fail the maths, you do the runs.
Yeah. In the sash.
Not since the accident.
The only thing I know about this movie is that... that this was originally done as a short, like a 15-minute short, and 2 years prior. And I guess it was played at many Japanese, like, theaters and to sold-out crowds, and people really liked it. And that they were able to, through the popularity of the short, fund this feature-length film. And it was, like, of the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, the Sogo Ishii, he did the short, he was 19, so 21 when he did the feature length that we're talking about. And they paired him with another director, like, to help him, because the production company was afraid that he wouldn't be able to handle it on his own. So they paired him with a director named Yukihiro Sawada. And Yukihiro Sawada has a career mostly in seemingly questionable sleazy pornography.
Okay.
Nice.
I looked it up. It's Nikatsu is, I think, the studio name. And they are referred to as Roman pornos. There's some translation with the word Roman. Mm. And he's directed a bunch of those over the years. And many of them, unfortunately, in their English translations, have rape in the title. So that's, you know, that's delightful.
Mm-hmm. Like some Category 3 movies.
Yeah, instead, I feel like that's a very, like, Japanese-esque word to use.
But yeah, I have not seen any of Sogo Ishii's other material. Has anybody else? Because apparently he's actually a pretty notable kind of like punk director.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, a lot of people reference this movie as like, you know, this was his first movie and that's his start and everything like that. But I have not seen any of his other feature films, and he has quite a few of them. There's, I'm just like looking up. There's Crazy Thunder Road, Burst City, the Crazy.
Oh, Burst
City
is awesome. I've heard good things
about Burst City.
Burst City has the Stalin in it, and the Stalin are like one of the best Japanese hardcore bands.
Oh, really?
From like the 80s. I was in the best band I was ever in that was like the most widely receptive was like a Stalin worship band where we were just like trying to do that band. Yeah, Burst City's fucking awesome. Yeah, Arrow is putting that out right now.
I'll have to check out more of this guy's stuff, and I'm glad someone has seen more of it. But yeah.
Yeah, so Burst City's like what happens if you take Suburbia, the like 80s hardcore movie, and then mash it together with Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Oh, jeez. Okay. That sounds amazing.
It's fucking good. I haven't seen Tetsuo in a long time. I should remedy that.
Actually, I really want that box set. Again 2 months ago.
Did you like it?
Oh yeah. I actually, other than a few months ago, I haven't seen it in like 15 years. I don't know if it's that long. Definitely not that long. But about a decade. It was the last time I saw it before this recent watch.
That checks out.
So the subject matter of this movie is remarkably, unfortunately, holds up pretty well, which is not good.
School shootings?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen anything before it that has something to that effect involving a school going on.
Malcolm McDowell, If. You ever see If?
I haven't seen it.
If
no.
is good. That's like a 60s movie of like a hostile taking over of a school shooting thing, but it's like super like postmodernist, not straight to the point. Okay. And a bit artsy throughout, but it is about like a school hostage situation.
Yeah.
It's not him holding a gun to a kid's head and forcing him to learn a la Class of 1984.
Yes, it's not that. Learn, damn it, learn. No, that's Roddy McDowell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say Malcolm?
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
No, it's good to get those two confused.
I had Roddy in my head the whole time. Anytime McDowell is said, I always defer to Roddy McDowell.
Well, it's good that they both have school shooting movies or like school disruptive movies under their belt.
Mm-hmm. Comes with
it
the
is
name.
Hard to believe this movie came out in 78.
It doesn't
seem like a 70s movie at all.
No. Especially like the transfer I watched looked very, very good.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about the subject matter. I mean, just, like, the way, like, the movie is in general. I would guess, like, mid-late 80s.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is, like, a few reviews of it I read, like all of them were positive, but some of them said, like, that it was good, like, partially in spite of it being amateurish, and I'm like, I didn't think it was amateurish at all.
No.
Maybe like some stuff might get lost in translation, but
math.
You know,
yeah, math.
But no, I didn't think it was amateurish at all.
I love the dingy. I know the high school is supposed to be like, they kept on saying like, this is the best high school in our, I don't know what the word they kept on using, like prefect or something like that. Like,
yeah, prefect.
And but this high school itself looks like this dingy, like dark, like under construction, just abandoned warehouse. And I really enjoyed that. And each level you go through where he's like running back and forth, it looks different, but still just dingy and kind of under construction still.
Yeah, valid point.
Yeah, it's like a big building that it's like a
compound.
Shouldn't be a school.
Yeah. There's a really great tracking shot at the intro of the movie that is the principal or the assistant principal narrating to the kids that their fellow student has suicided.
Yeah.
And there's just a tracking shot down the hallway of, like, all the different classrooms that all look the same.
Yeah.
And all the teachers and the kids kind of silently listening to what the principals have to say. And they just defend it. And it's like, yep, you know, well, in the suicide note that, you know, he says it was because of this, but that doesn't make any sense. So don't talk about that this way. Yeah. Don't make any derogatory comments towards our school.
Especially maths.
Yeah. Yeah, maths is the most important. You could tell because, like, every one of these classrooms is teaching the maths. And but, like, you would see other parts of the building where he runs to. It's like the library is teeny tiny. And the chem lab is also very small.
It's but so like, small.
But all the other, the math classes are gigantic, and that's where everyone is.
I think we got to pause and explain why we keep saying maths.
Oh, yeah.
People who haven't seen this movie.
Yes.
This is throughout the entire movie.
Yes.
Anytime the word math is used, it is pluralized in the subtitles. And it's just something that we've picked up the hilarity of.
Also important to note that the student that suicided was in grade 3 of what appears to be high school aged kids.
Right. Well, no, I think what so like I feel like in other countries that are not the United States, like that they mean like they're in grade 3 of like secondary of like school. Yeah, like they're out of primary. They're like you. They're like yeah, so that you'd be like a 10th grader or something.
Oh, you mean the countries that don't matter?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's
what are you talking about right now, Andrew.
I didn't even know other countries existed.
Yeah, I feel like I can't remember how it was in when I lived in Costa Rica. I went to like an American school, but I feel like once the high school was like you start over, you're like in first, second, third grade, but of like high school.
Yeah, you do start over in high school.
Yeah, but like it's like you're not in like, but it's like they call it that. Like you're in like first year, second year, third year in high school. There's no like 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade.
I think you're objectively wrong and don't know what grades are or countries.
Carmilla, Camilla, it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, you're like, are those those same countries that use that monopoly money? What the fuck's wrong with you?
No, that's definitely right. There's a funny thing in the translation though. Like you can't like, isn't it objectively funny? Just like
yeah, it's just like these are not third graders, like 18-year-old third graders. What are you talking about?
I didn't know you pick up on that.
Oh, they're so close to graduating.
They're cheating the system. These 18-year-olds can do the maths because they're only in third grade and they're bumping up their numbers on the global scale.
That's the new conspiracy. That's why they say United States are full of dummies. It's not. They're just cheating us.
They're 18 and they're in third grade. Fuck.
That's amazing. Wow. So Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's place.
It is.
I do wonder if like this was sorry, do I keep on like interrupting?
Not at all.
Oh, the Japanese is that's a place. Yeah. The I do wonder if like this is like 1978 and this is a high school shooting and like if the 1978 in Japan this was like the most like extreme like holy shit, some kids like shooting up his school. You know, flash forward to United States 2020, and that's just like common. It's like not as effective. It's everyday news.
The one thing that's been on the massive downfall this year is school.
Because no one's in fucking school. Yeah.
Because, no one's in school this year.
It's a barbaric. It takes a fucking plague that kills so many people to make school shootings go away. Can't figure that one out on our own. We just need to make the plague to do that. But right.
Just cancel school. That's
yeah.
Probably be better.
I'd have been for that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, school shooting is a whole different definition when you're being homeschooled.
Yeah. You ever, you watch South Park? Anybody South Park fans?
Yes.
I'm a big South Park fan. fucking the last like two seasons, like they've been very contemporary, but there was one where it was just like oh no, there's been another school shooting. This time it happened at the Baskin Robbins. And it's just whenever something bad happens, the
any
cops
shooting's
get
a
there.
School shooting.
Yeah, it's not even shootings. It's like whenever anything bad happens and the cops get there, they're just like, I guess another school shooting happened. It's just like anywhere that it could possibly be. It's such a good show. Oh, that show.
What else can we say about this movie?
This really is one of those movies where it's like we can't really dissect all too well. It's just you have to experience it. Like, one thing we didn't mention was that the entire time there's this like awesome funky jazz fusion music playing.
Hell yeah. That and soundtrack is ripping.
Yeah, there's like a really slappy bass track.
That also occasionally turns to like 70s hard rock.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
It's some gnarly jazz fusion going on, and it's dope.
That, a part of me didn't realize, I was like, is this just like the, I don't know, it didn't really fit, but it was great at the same time. But then all of a sudden, before he goes and shoots up his school, he just slams this clip into the gun and all the music stops, all the jazziness stops.
Yeah.
And then the track switches to something else and it's like, you know, big panic time. Like,
Well, that's the bit where they put on the classical music towards the end.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like for some reason, there's a record player wherever they are in the chemistry room and just like, it's just blasting classical music to the people that are like on the outside of the hostage situation.
Yeah. He's doing a little reverse strategy there.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a nice tone too.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's basically doing that so he can make as much noise as he wants to trying to escape.
Ah.
Big Panic High School?
High School Big Panic.
High School Big Panic. Was so much more traumatic than I thought it would be.
It's energetic, too. Like, that really, I think, adds to it, is how, like, it just keeps moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it helps when everyone's running.
I was gonna say, there was a point in the movie, so you got the whole, like, intro, you get the beginning part, and then when he finally, like, brings the gun to school, kills his teacher, and then this seems like there's this extended period where there's nothing but running.
Oh yeah,
you got the kid running who's saying he's trash and hitting himself in the head. You got Jono, however you pronounce his name, sorry, running with his gun. You got the cops chasing him, and it's just like cat and mouse. And I'm like, where's this movie? Where can this movie go?
Yeah,
where eventually people stop running and something else happens. And then,
well, instead they figure out they just find the other running man who doesn't run, but he really likes running. And they show us that guy. No, oh, and also
who does he argue with? I'm sorry.
He kind of pops up around the same point that the
Japanese
weird
nationalists.
Yeah,
and they're the ones who argue. They argue together. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, that's a fun
Japanese
thing.
Nationalists. What the hell was that about?
Yeah,
I couldn't understand their argument at all.
They were just like, "Oh, this is what this is a result when you have, you know, communist red teaching methods and like that's
democratic red."
Yeah,
democratic red. Red. Yeah. They, like, if only they could see America now.
Yeah, definitely. Oh shit. There's something on my tip of my tongue.
Water sports.
I think water the other sports. Thing they added water power.
Water sports.
Oh, there was. Yeah, there's a few water sports scenes.
Three bits.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, urine happens a couple of times.
Urine happens.
Yeah. Well, it's three bits, and one of them is like two and one. There's the first hostage situation he gets into when he's running around the interior of the school. He kidnaps a girl in the bathroom, or doesn't kidnap a girl. He like forces his way into the bathroom, and she's taking a piss. And then he gets out of that, but then later on, like, he holds someone hostage who pees themselves.
Mm-hmm. He shoves the barrel of the gun in his mouth. He just pisses all over himself.
Yeah. And then also he has to take a piss, so he takes a piss with the final girl, and then the final girl goes and takes a piss, and then he just, like, he's just like, oh, we're being vulnerable, and, like, watches that there's piss happening, and then that's it.
such a romantic scene.
Yeah. That was like this weird connection they have. Yeah.
Bond. Which, honestly, who hasn't?
Bonded by piss. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
The best first dates I've ever been on have always been punctuated by the bonding of pissing.
It's like, it's like, do you want to maybe piss together? Because I'm feeling
like
this
the whole, like, you sit on the toilet and open your leg, and then I'll aim in between.
Yeah. Try not to splash you.
Hey, you want a sword fight with me?
Yeah.
Like a sword fight. Do lightsabers.
Lightsabers.
Cross streams.
Don't ever cross the streams unless you're fighting the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Or pissing in the same toilet bowl.
Yeah, that's
fun. No, you gotta love a movie that's got some water sports in it. The sleazier, the better.
Truth. I didn't realize this was the same director as Burst City. That's really fun. That's cool.
Yeah, when I looked at his filmography, I was like, this is probably someone I probably should know other features of, but whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't have, like, a ton, but he's got, like 20, 25 movies that he's done.
That's a ton.
Yeah, that's a handsome amount.
Yeah. I would say that's a good chunk of movies. Even
Nicholas Meyer didn't do that many movies.
Good old Nick.
Well, he's got other stuff to do.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah, friend of the podcast, Nick Myers.
It's funny, like he complimented me on my innocence, and then I've just been phoning it in ever since.
Yeah, these last two have been very difficult with the whole thing. And we really like with Mike coming on board, we really just did the, all right, we got to run the other direction now, which is usually how I do everything in life. As like every time I get any sort of lead, I like run the other way, and it's like, no, I gotta do the other thing better. Yeah. And it's like, we did it again.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Sometimes you have to peer over the edge. You have to get to that edge and then go.
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't.
I'm at the wrong cliff.
I'm glad I'm a negative influence.
The much needed one we needed.
Yes. But have things been quite tame since John left, so I gotta fill in that gap.
Yeah,
we gotta ruffle the feathers. I think Big we Bennett. Did good with I think we did I want that audio clip. I think we did good without John, but I'm so much happier for you to be here now, Mike.
Yeah.
No, I'm so happy to be here. This is great. And I'm glad I got John's blessing.
Yeah. Andrew, hit
he
us
didn't
with
need
a big
that
panic.
Though.
What?
Yeah.
Hit us with a big panic.
A big panic.
Is that a thumbs?
I feel like we're really underselling this movie because it's like I said before, there's not a whole lot we can say about this. But like, just please, guys, this movie is not as boring as we are right now. Go see this. This movie is incredible. We just anything we say will not be up to the par with this movie. So it's kind of moot.
Andrew, did you remain awake for the duration of the movie?
Oh, yeah. This.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the Everyman review right there. You know, it's like, I did not sleep. There is so much action going on constantly. There's crazy jazz music, like funk jazz fusion keeping me awake. Squibs galore. Piss. Yeah, it's fucking great.
I tried to see if anybody I tried to see if anybody had like any of the actors had careers, and it doesn't seem like many of them did beyond maybe being in like one or two other things. But the teacher actually has been in like he's had a pretty steady like voice acting career.
Oh yeah, that's wild. He got offed really early on.
What was he in?
Pushing the maths.
He's a maths dealer.
What was
a maths merchant?
What was what? I'm sorry.
What was
I can't
he
hear you. Oh, I don't nothing that I would know. I just know that he's the only one who, if you look at his IMDb, there's like more than three credits. Thank you.
Nice. A lot of
this is so weird that we cannot really say much about this movie, despite it being as good as it is.
Yeah.
Definitely impossible to find any information about. And it's also more dramatic than the horror realm that we normally cover.
Right.
More of a drama thriller.
Yeah. There's not. There's really not a lot we can discuss because it's just a big panic.
Yeah, in the high school.
Just go see it. Watch this movie.
Nah, this is a watchable.
You'll never do math again.
Fuck math.
Hate maths forever. So many great lines regarding maths.
Yeah.
It's because there's one scene where the lead actor has his students held hostage, and one of the students starts yelling at him. You know, like, why are you doing this? And he goes, this is because you're bad at maths. That's why you're doing this. Yeah. Why am I involved? I'm good at maths. This whole movie boils down to maths.
Yeah.
That's like the...
That and lunchboxes. The whole...
Oh, okay. That's a good thing to talk about, is this character that is our main character, who is so triggered by the events of everything, seems to be very triggered about the structural elements of his school and the pressures that have been implemented upon him by his school system. And he's right, and it's real, and it's there. And then in the height of the him running around with a fucking gun, where he doesn't say much of anything to anybody, and doesn't really reveal his emotions or point of view, his parents get brought in by the cops to talk about, to like try to like reel him in, and his parents are panicking, and his mom is just like, "We're sorry, our company house can't have a place for you to study at the company house," and it like has like a flashback element where he's doing homework in what looks like a closet. And then she's also like, "We'll get you a good lunchbox." And it does another flashback moment where it's like everybody having lunchboxes.
Yeah.
But it appears to me as a viewer, Western viewer, that they are all just eating out of the same lunchbox.
Yeah.
And everybody has the same thing, but he's just opening his and looking at everybody else's, and it's sad. Yeah. And he's like, "No."
But everyone has a big lunchbox that has enough room to put your soup in, and he's sitting there with his little slim lunchbox with no soup.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that might be it. But the visual didn't play well for me. But there is that, and it's those two notes were very interesting because they reveal so much about the character that we haven't seen prior in the movie.
Right.
Where backstory. There's so much happening. Yeah, it's a very sly way. There's also the moment where him and the final girl are left, and he's like, "I'll kill myself." And she's like, "Don't kill yourself, you won't." And he's like, "I will." And then it's like a flash forward to him just holding a gun to himself, being like, "No!" And shoots himself with the rifle, and like with his arms like holding away, and he just dies. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Those were really, I think, cool filmic techniques that they used.
Also, you identified the similarity between our two movies, the two movies that have nothing to do with each other. Pretty gnarly suicide scenes.
Suicide.
Oh, damn, yeah. Because
I was going to say this episode, I think this might be like the first one where there aren't similarities, but nope.
There it is.
Leave it to Big Brain, Every Man Drew, to figure it out.
Every Man Drew.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why it's Big Brain. It's the every man comes together in their one big cosmic brain.
It's literally brain. Every man.
Every
man.
Every man.
Yeah.
I did love the scene with the parents and how big panicked they were as well. Yeah. Just added so many layers of multiple big panics.
I like the mom coming in trying to, like... be like, we'll give you all the things you didn't have, like Ryan was saying. And then the father just comes in and he's just like, you little fuck. Like, you just take your punishment. Like, he's just like screaming at him all sweaty. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
The father is definitely a singer of a Japanese hardcore band.
Yeah.
He definitely sings for like, he's got some good vocals, yeah,
coming out. Actually, a lot of good vocals in this. Even like the main guy, the guy who shoots up the school, like his screams are pretty fucking gnarly.
Yeah. The father was intense. I'm like, this guy, if he's not the singer of a Japcore band, then it's something.
You just like picture some like blast beating behind him, like just as, every time he talks. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's. Mike, you helped me solve the fucking Dillinger 4 thing.
No,
recently.
My pleasure.
That's been years of trying to figure out what the fuck that was.
Simple Google search.
I've tried. I don't know what series of words you use to figure that one out.
Sometimes.
I've never been able to find it.
Yeah, sometimes that
it's
happens.
It's just one word. It'll throw you off.
We all know Google's curated to us individually, too. So, like,
truth.
I'm glad to meet an individual that had the set of keys to unlock that fucking bizarre question.
It's literally my pleasure. Yeah. I'm glad I can.
Google's like, what
put
are you doing here? And like, get out of here. Here's your answer. Leave.
Mike, are you the key master?
No.
Slam.
Oh,
are
the
you
other-
the key master? Yes.
The last thing I wanted to mention about the movie is that, like, apparently, like, sweat was a big thing for this movie. I don't know, like, throughout the end, like, half of the movie, everyone's sweating and just sweating bullets.
I was going to mention that
as
well. It's
actually just piss. Yeah. The sweating piss. It just adds to the water sport.
Yeah. Everyone just got splashed, and that's just what they've been carrying on the whole movie.
Hey, you are not sweaty enough. Too. Hold on, let's hose you down.
I think I think the more of the sweat, the higher the big panic.
Yeah.
The equation is, see, maths.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the sweat to panic ratio in this? I don't know.
I don't know! Who knows this answer? I'm trash!
Take a lap.
Yeah. Panic plus sweat equals piss.
And upset parents.
Panic plus sweat equals piss. Perfect.
That's math.
I love that. That's math for you. That's math summed up.
I think we figured it out. We solved math.
Yeah, the formula. It's the winning formula.
I'm ready to take my SATs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They change SAT scoring. So I learned that like a couple years ago. Like somebody said that like the number that it was like when I was in high school is not the number that it is now.
It went from 1,200 to 1,600, and now you can take the ACTs, which is the high score of a 36.
Yeah, which is 69.
Yeah.
Ha!
Yeah. That is.
What?
Maths, man, maths.
Thumbs?
I'm panicking.
Way up.
Yeah.
Way up.
Mine's up and panicking.
Yeah, mine's just a
one sweaty thumb up.
We got a sweaty thumb. We got a panicking thumb. We got a thumb that's pissing. We got. What else we got?
One thumb to trash.
It's a very difficult movie to describe, but thumbs way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as much as we've derived humor out of talking about it, it actually is a very serious movie, even though it does have some things that I think are like meant to kind of be a little bit funny, but it is definitely a serious movie that makes a very big panic point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no, the message behind it is very succinct and definitely echoes through. But yeah, there is a lot of hilarity behind that message.
Yeah.
Versus match. Oof. Satan's Slave versus Panic High School.
Who wants to go first?
For me, I think it has to be like a mood thing. because they're two such different movies. Like, one's very subdued, slow burn, lots of blood and tits, and the other one's a 24/7 big panic. in the state I am in right now, I'm gonna say panic, big high school, big panic, whatever title we're going by, but that could change next week.
Yeah, I agree with those words.
Words, I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are very different, and it definitely is a mood preference. But I would also put Panic High School on top in this battle of piss and blood.
Piss and
this is a blood versus piss match. Who will win?
All right. I'm going to go Big Panic High School as well. Yeah, just nonstop action, nonstop piss, nonstop sweat.
Nonstop.
Nonstop consciousness. Yeah, it's like this is definitely up my alley of movies that I'll. But you know, at the same time, I'll probably will rewatch Satan's Slave, again. Like, not to dog that movie at all, but like, yeah, definitely, I'm taking Big Panic High School.
Team Satan's Slave.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, they're both good, both thumbs up for me, but Satan's Slave just had a lot of that TNA, that mm-hmm. really upsetting violence. Mm-hmm. I don't think as like dramatic as the other one was. It wasn't as upsetting or startling in its violence or gore. But they're both great, fun stories. They're both awesome.
Yeah.
Other than suicide, they have nothing to do with each other, and it's good that we watch them together.
Yeah,
yeah. No, both A+ movies, and it's hard to really pick a winner because next week I'd probably be Team Satan's Slave.
Right.
It's just total mood movies.
And what's kind of cool is that I feel like none of us have seen Panic High School before. This was the first for everyone.
I haven't even heard of it before.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'd watch like the first like 15 minutes, and I just was like, "I'm sure I'll come back to this." So it seemed like an appropriate time.
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yes, thank you for blurting that out when you were demanded to make a choice. Okay, next time, episode 72, we are doing The Grave Robbers. The Mexican movie from the late 80s. And we're also going to do The Last Broadcast so that everyone can yell at me for liking it more than The Blair Witch Project.
Ah, two movies of the drive-in era that are classically famous.
Yes. Andrew.
You can reach us at latenightsakurama@gmail.com. Also on Instagram and Facebook.
How's night spelled?
N-I-T-E.
And if you know that, then you probably already know about our Discord channel. If not, join it. But to join it, you gotta be a Patreon subscriber or a good friend. So, you know, either one of those, hit us up. But seriously, if you're subscribed to our Patreon, we really appreciate you. Also, any like and review really, really helps. And we love you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
All right. Till next time. Good night.
Big Panic!